This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. The Kokopah are known as the River People for their historic and cultural connection to what is today called the Colorado River. The Colorado intersects the Kokopah Reservation today at a couple of points, but it's harder to get to the waters than it used to be just a couple of generations ago. Water management is one challenge, and plenty of talking heads and academics and politicians tackle that aspect of the river with varying degrees of success. But pushing back invasive species that crowd out native trees and change the habitat for native animals takes physical effort. Today we'll talk to two people taking on the hard work of restoring an environment not simply for the ecological benefit, but because what is replanted and restored connects to tradition and culture for the Kokopah. Jennifer Alsbach is director of the Kokopah Tribe's Environmental Protection Office, and Willadina Thomas is an EPO technician. Thank you both for being here. There's a lot of policy discussion about drought, a lot of hand-wringing and planning about the Colorado River, but I wanted to talk to you guys because of the literal on-the-ground work that you're doing. Before we get into some of that specific work, can you tell me what the goal of the Kokopah Environmental Protection Office is?
So the overall goal of the Kokopah Environmental Protection Office is to protect tribal lands, and also to keep the Kokopah community and the Kokopah environment a healthy and safe place for, the community to enjoy and, keep both people and wildlife, the environment safe.
For those who don't know, describe the Colorado River on Kokopah land in terms of geography for scope. How much shoreline are we talking about? How much acreage, perhaps?
The Colorado does run through two of our reservations, the North Reservation and the West Reservation. But so on the North Reservation, we lie just above the Morales Dam. And on the West Reservation, we are post Morales Dam. So really on the West, we only get whatever leaks out of Morales Dam. And it's not easily accessible to tribal members. So that is why a lot of our work does focus on the North Reservation. But still, we do have the issue of invasive species like Phragmites, which do limit access to the river.
For both of you, can you, for people who have never visited this area, can you describe what it looks like? What are some of these species that you see in this area?
We have coyote, quail, rabbit, ground squirrels, beavers. We had bobcats in that area as well. We haven't seen any in the last couple of years.
And in terms of, Jen, you mentioned some of the plant species. What are some of the plant species that should be there, and what's there that shouldn't be?
Phragmites pretty much covers the bank line right now. So that's what we're trying to work on. But there are mesquite trees, honey mesquite, screwbean mesquite, some cottonwoods and willows. But especially the cottonwoods and willows are the ones that we're trying to bring back.
So I connected with you guys because of a video I watched recently on Kokopah Now on YouTube. And the two of you were describing how difficult it is to remove that Phragmites. And you were getting some help from an excavator. What is Phragmites and why are you removing it?
So Phragmites is an invasive species that grows in riparian areas. It grows very tall over, 6 to 8 feet. It grows very, the stalk itself is thick and it grows in dense thickets. So it's very hard to eradicate. And, it just easily takes over any landscape and comes back, That's why control of it is an ongoing process. When you clear it out, it will start regrowing pretty quickly.
Willadina, you in the video seemed particularly relieved to have the excavator helping. Describe how difficult it is to remove by hand. You'd mentioned something about it just ate through some of your tools even.
Yes, we've been trying to clear the area because in that particular area where we had filmed is where we pulled three of our water samples from, the effluent and along the upstream of the Colorado River and downstream Colorado River. And with the Phragmites all in that area, we had to try to clear an area so we can get to the water. And we've used brush cutters, which are actually, they look like weed eaters, but they have blades on them instead of the string. So we've used that to try to cut as much as we can. But after some time, it dies off and we can't start them. So we'd go in using machetes, and then they would get dull. So then we would use loppers to try to cut as much as we can just to make a path to the water. And a lot of times we just didn't really succeed. We'd probably get enough clearing for one person to crawl through the Phragmites to get to the water. So it's been very difficult to get to. So when the excavator was there, it did it in minutes. So it was really, it was good to see that it was done, so that now we were able to pull samples without having to crawl. And a lot of times in that same area, we do have snakes and bullfrogs and whatnot. We even have turtle in that area. So we just have to be careful with the wildlife there. But I'm glad to see that they're still there. You know, they're still in the area and they just move along. So we share the area with them.
You mentioned there that it was in part to get access to the water for testing. What kinds of tests and where does that research end up?
So one of our programs here at the environmental office is from the EPA to conduct water testing on the reservation. So we do that about four times a year. And this on the North Reservation, it is an area of interest because we do have the Yuma effluent running through there. So that's all of the city's treated wastewater goes through the reservation and joins the Colorado on tribal lands. So we do like to test the effluent itself and then upstream of the effluent and downstream. And we keep that data here at Cocopah just to monitor the quality.
But an invasive species like that, Phragmites, can just block you from access to doing something as simple as gathering a water sample.
Yes. Yes, that's correct. The other day we actually did our water testing, and it was so much easier than the past times that we've done it, and it was just great.
You mentioned replacing these invasive species. I imagine that's also some physical work too. You mentioned willow and cottonwood. Are those two of the primary tree species that you're trying to replant?
Yes, those are the ones that we've focused on this year. In the past, we've also planted the mesquite. But there is a lot of mesquite in the area, so we have tried to focus on cottonwood and willow recently.
For the cottonwoods in particular, and I don't know about the willow, you can tell me, but I noticed in some of the videos that you have to make your own saplings because you can't just move, say, a cottonwood tree from one location to another. That actually adds to the time it takes to do this work.
That's correct. We did receive a donation of both cottonwood and willow trees from an outside nursery, which was a great resource to have. But one of our goals is to start doing that ourselves, propagating the plants here on tribal lands to, you know, kind of minimize that dependence on outside sources for the trees. So that's something that we're working on. And so we've planted both trees from the outside nursery and the ones that we propagated ourselves.
Can you explain why having willow trees or cottonwood trees there instead of the Phragmites is better? Are the Phragmites especially, are they very water thirsty? Are they, is it just that they're invasive? What's the real impact of them?
So they are an invasive species. They just take over the whole bank line, but also they will kind of deplete resources and nutrients from plants surrounding it. And since they grow very tall, you know, sometimes there will be like a cottonwood tree right in the middle of a dense thicket of Phragmites, and so it won't receive any sunlight. And then, like we said, there's also the human impact where it just totally restricts access to the river.
But it can actually change the composition of the soil.
That's a big issue with the two main invasive species that we do deal with are the Phragmites and the salt cedar. So, yeah, that's another issue. That's part of the restoration and getting the native trees back in there. Eventually it will take some time, but to get that soil state back to where it needs to be.
Well, Adina, as a member of the tribe, if you feel comfortable getting personal at all, can you speak to the connection you feel to the work of the EPO and obviously the places that you're doing it in?
I'm proud of the work that we're doing because, like I've mentioned before, as a tribal member, growing up, this is what my grandfather would tell us. You know, hey, make sure that the trees, these things are out here because we use it for ceremonies. You know, for our funeral ceremonies, we use it for cleansing ceremonies and for building, for our cradles, for all kinds of tools. We use the barks for as well. So, and I always believe because it was here and our family would go and get mesquite. That's how we cooked and with mesquite and just having it around when I was young, I never thought it would not be here or we wouldn't have access to it until I came and joined the Environmental Protection Office. And I just started to realize that we don't have access to the river here on the West Reservation. And we don't have the trees. We don't have plenty of trees out here. So we can't really take some cuttings, but we can't take down a whole tree. And back in the days, they were able to take down trees. You know, I'd hear the stories that my grandfather would tell me they used it as to make buildings, you know. And now there is no way we could take down several cottonwood trees to make a building because we don't have it. And along the North Reservation, the same thing, you know. There's not anywhere with the Phragmites taking over, we didn't really have a lot of access to the river. And that's, as for a tribal member, our whole tribe is based on, we're considered the river people. And as the river people, we can't even reach the river. So watching this getting done and being a part of this team, where I'm able to see how we're putting back and I know what plants and trees need to come back. So, you know, we can use it. A couple of weeks ago, I had another tribal member go out looking for willow because there's a game that we have called the shinny game. And they use the limbs from the willow and they couldn't get it in that area because we just put in those trees. So they're still too young to be used. So I, you know, direct them to another area, but it's that, you know, we, as a tribe, we use these things for our daily lives, you know, and if we don't have access to them or they're not around anymore, then, you know, it makes me sad. And it's the reality of what my grandfather had told me. That there may not be here, you know, and now I see it.
How do you see the impact of this work? Obviously, if you clear some Phragmites, you can get to the river and you see the immediacy of that. But in terms of the work that you're doing, how long will it be or how long does it take before you see an improvement in a region that you're working on?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I think there are, you start to see some impact right away, and then some of it will be more long-term. Like one really cool thing that I always appreciate when we do get an area cleared out is you'll see, you know, birds, a lot more bird life in the area. And that's always cool to witness, because they will notice right away and come down to the area. And then with the trees, you know, we're getting them put into the ground, and we go out there daily and see how they're doing and seeing them start to grow. And we see the trees that were planted last year and how they're doing. So, you know, all of that is going to turn into a really great habitat for native wildlife. And, you know, we'll be able to track that and monitor it and maintain it to, you know, create a really beautiful area for tribal members to enjoy, and also for the wildlife to come back and find habitat in the area.
Jen, what are the long-term goals? Is there a big project down the road that you have your eye on, or are you sort of chipping away at what you need to do as it comes up?
Yeah, restoration will always be a primary goal of the COCOPA EPO. We're always going after funding, and recently we did secure another big grant to continue restoration downstream. So we will continue to seek out those opportunities, and that is a thing with restoration work, that, you know, it's not just that you ever finish one area, but you're going to have to go back and keep maintaining that area. And then, you know, when you get more funding, you can move on to another area or to bigger projects. But it is a continuous process, and it's great to see us making great progress, and we definitely want to keep that momentum going.
It's about to get quite hot in our region. How will that impact your ability to do specific work?
Yeah, it is getting hot. That's a big concern and a big issue for us as the ones planting the trees, but also for the trees themselves. But we care about the project so much, so we are out there every day doing what we can, taking advantage of the cool days to get some more planting in. But also we are planting pretty close to the river, so we do try to get down to the groundwater. And that's really the best scenario, because, you know, a tree is much well off, more in the groundwater than it is at our nursery. It's a self-sustaining way to irrigate. So, that's what we're shooting for right now, to get those trees into the groundwater, where they will just thrive.
And briefly, you mentioned getting some grant money, but obviously this is some heavy work. You know, this takes a lot of person power. Are you able to get the people in you need when you need them, when you take on, say, fortunately you got an excavator recently, but are you able to get more help when you need it?
Yeah, we do have some help. We have had a volunteer crews come out and help us on the weekend. We've worked with AWC environmental science students. They have come out and helped us plant this year. But that is something that we do try to include in our grant proposals, to either get the contractual funds or to actually hire a planting crew. So, yeah, those are all, it's great to have the extra help, definitely.
Well, Adina, I want to end with you, because you spoke so eloquently about how important this work has been to you. What perhaps surprised you when you first stepped out to get into this work? What was something that you either had never seen or had never thought of before?
I think the fact that we had no access to the water, and the fact that there wasn't, like, all the trees were gone. We had an overgrowth of salt cedars in the area when I first started on, which was about 5 years ago. And they, with the salt cedars, it really messes up the soil. So in order to see them go, and we were able to revegetate with the mesquite at that time, and to now see that the mesquites are growing, And the area we were at was just another area that, like I said, you know, we didn't have access to. And to see it being cleared right now and, you know, we're revegetating. I know that, you know, these trees are going to grow. And I know that as a tribal member, just to stand out there and hear the water flowing and hear the wildlife there, it gives me a connection to my tribe, my elders, you know, those who were so able to freely go and enjoy the river and stuff. And I heard so many stories and I never experienced it until I got out here, until we cleared areas and I can hear the water. I can see the wildlife. I can see the, you know, everything that we're doing is, it makes me proud, you know, to be a part of this and see how we can restore our area and bring back what we can, what we need, you know, as a tribe.
All right. Well, Adina Thomas, EPO technician, and Jennifer Ausbach, EPO director. Thank you so much for your time. I think we've learned a lot.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on.
You can see video of the Kokopah Tribe's EPO office at work online. Visit kokopah.com/videos to see how a cottonwood cutting becomes a cottonwood tree. Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments about the program are welcome. Send them to news@kawc.org. You can hear this program again later today on our website, kawc.org. You'll also find past programs and links to other KAWC programming. This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. Thanks for listening.